Today is Bats Church Sunday. We've already said that, and welcome. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. If it's been a while since you've been here, welcome back home, because we need you, we want you, and we will use you, but we don't want to abuse you. But we do need you, and we want you to get involved. So thanks for being here today. Don't forget, if you're first time, or if it's been a long, long time, fill out that Connect card. We've got a special gift for you we want to bless you with. And we want to get to know you a little bit better. We're not going to harass you. So thanks for being here today. This morning I want to preach a message to you that I've entitled, If the Shoe Fits. If the Shoe Fits. That's an old adage. I did some research this week and trying to find out where that adage came from, and I'll be very frank with you. I don't think anybody knows. I don't think anybody knows, but most of us can relate to what that adage means. You know, it simply means, you know, if the shoe fits, go ahead and wear it. There's another adage that I'll talk about this morning in my message that says those are some mighty big shoes to fill. And that's pertaining to, you know, if somebody's done a stellar job or performed well in whatever task that was at hand, that it's hard for somebody else to feel that obligation or that objective. But this morning, as I've titled this, If the Shoe Fits, you know, that's a little bit of trick photography there. I thought it was a neat picture, but, you know, we're going to talk about some shoes this morning. We're going to talk about some shoes, but we're also going to talk about your feet. And I'm delivering that in a metaphoric sense, if you would allow me to. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to John chapter 14. And then we're going to flip over a few pages to John chapter 20. And then I'm going to read another verse of scripture that's found out of the book of Ephesians. Paul's writing to the Ephesian church in chapter 6 in that book. So John 14, John 20, and Ephesians 6. And I usually don't, you know, divide up the scriptures quite that extensively, but it's important, I think, to get my point across this morning. It's important for us to look at these illustrations in scripture. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this. He said, "Verily, truly, I tell you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." Wow. Wow. I want you to think about that. Jesus has been doing all the Jesus stuff. I mean, he's been doing all of the great and mighty miracles, and now he's saying, and if you're reading the King James, it says, "Verily, verily," and there's a rule of scripture there that means this is like ultra important. He said, "Verily, verily, I'm telling you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I'm doing, and they will do even greater things than these." You know, and it's not that we can exceed the deity of God. It's not that we can excel in the works that Jesus did, but we are the body of Christ, and I think on the scale of things, the body of Christ, we are going to reach and we're going to touch the lives of people. Jesus, in the sense of Jesus the man, he was limited in his capacity. He's not limited as God, but he was limited in his capacity as a man. And he would only touch, and he did only touch so many people physically. But oh my, the number of people that we can touch as the body of Christ, as the church. He said, you can do this, he explains, he says, because I am going to the Father. He said, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And the Son is glorified, if you would. This is not printed in the scripture, but the Son is glorified through the work of the body of Christ, which is you and I, the church. Then John chapter 20, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." That's important for the next scripture we're going to read. "Peace be with you." He says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Notice he didn't say, "As the Father has been waiting on you, I'm going to ask you to wait." Hello? Because sometimes the church, we're awful guilty of waiting. We take that verse of scripture, wait upon the Lord and he shall renew your strength. And we'll interpret that in the sense of waiting, like sitting down and waiting. But when you dissect that scripture, that actually means to serve. Jesus said, peace be with you. Has the Father sent you? I'm sending me. We have been dispatched. We have been sent. We have marching orders, if you would, as the church. Then Paul teaching the church at Ephesus, Paul gave this instruction pertaining to the armor of God. He said, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You see, when Paul made reference here, the truth is buckled around our waist. The truth, the word of God is truth. And then we find that he says, let our feet be fitted. And we all know, other than our socks, most of us wear shoes. My wife picked me out some colorful socks for today. I don't know if she intentionally did that or not. But most of us, we wear socks. Some of us still got that Miami Vice thing going on like Don Johnson, and we're wearing, you know, the shoes with no socks on, you know, and that's old hippies and stuff that may be in the congregation. Maybe you're young, and maybe I typically can't go without socks because, quite honestly, it makes my feet stink. So I always wear socks. I don't wear sandals a whole lot because I'm not one of those guys to wear sandals with socks, okay? If you do, it's up to you, you know, it's your preference, but you know, that nerd word comes into my mind when I see men wearing sandals with, you know, socks coming up over their calf, you know. I'm going to tell this story because, and some of y'all will probably go back and tell him that that's okay. Our bishop one time on a missions trip came out of his room with loafers and socks on while wearing shorts. And before I could get my camera up on my phone, he ran and hid himself in his room so I couldn't capture that moment. I wear socks. You do too, most of you. But we also wear shoes. I was tempting. I was trying to tempt the life group this morning. I sat in life group and I crossed my little short legs and I even pulled up my pants legs and I was just wanting. I was craving the moment for somebody to ask me about my shoes. Quench not the spirit. Why didn't you ask? I was wanting for somebody to ask me about my shoes. Let me tell you about my shoes. These are my comfortable shoes. These are my shoes that I have stained the deck in. These are the shoes that I have painted in. These are the shoes that I put on when I mow. And yes, they are untied because most of the time, that's the way I wear them. I don't want to have to untie them to put them on. I just want to walk into the mud room. And these are the ones that sit in the mud room. And I just want to be able to walk in and to stick my foot down in them. These are my comfortable shoes. And you guys got a pair of them too. They may look like moccasins. They may look like dirty tennis shoes like mine. They may look a little bit different, but they're still your comfy shoes. And there's a time and a place for comfy shoes, but God is not calling us to walk this journey. God is not calling us to necessarily serve Him in comfy shoes. My comfy shoes have that time and they have that place again. And yours do too. You know, when I'm out mowing my grass, when I'm around the house, you know, whatever I'm doing, my wife likes going barefoot, and I'm not a barefoot person. You know, I have this thing about feet. You know, I'm not a barefoot person. I don't go without socks. That's just not me. You know, gravels hurt. You know, when you step on Legos, they hurt. You know, shoes are good. Shoes are good. They have a good purpose and place. But these are my comfy shoes. I get home and my feet are hurting. I can put on these shoes and they feel better. But God has not called us to be comfortable. He is not calling us to be in our comfy shoes. In fact, you've heard that saying I mentioned a bit ago about there's some mighty big shoes to fill. We don't know where that came from, but it's a common idiom, and most of us have identified with it at some point, sometime or another in our life. It speaks of a legacy. It may speak of a predecessor. It may speak of their accomplishments. It may speak of their achievements. It may speak of their successes. And my goodness, when you think about the scriptures we've read, when Jesus goes back and he says to them, he said, not only these works will you do, but even greater works will you do. Man, can you imagine how that made some of the disciples feel? Can you imagine how they're comprehending things, just like you're thinking about? Well, how, man, this is Jesus. How can we do greater works than he does? But one thing's going to have to happen is they're going to have to get out of their comfortable shoes, because he said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. If you would, for practical reasons, for this message in particular, Jesus was taken out of his comfort zone. He was taken out of the portals of heaven, and he took on a fleshly body. Jesus got uncomfortable for you and I, and Jesus became afflicted in his body. He was afflicted in his body, not with physical sickness necessarily, but he was beaten, he was mutilated, he was mocked, he was emotional, he was put under great stress, and he was put under great strain. He experienced these things in a body, a human fleshly body, so that he could relate to what you and I feel. Now, in all of that, Jesus had to become uncomfortable. If you and I are going to serve Jesus, we don't have to get off our comfy shoes. Okay? We've got to get out of them. We've got to get out of our comfy zone. And you know, for me, being in sock feet is not really comfortable. But we've got to get out of our comfort zone. And because this is a challenge to the successor. And we are the successors. These disciples were the successors. And you and I are the successors to Jesus Christ. We are the carriers of the gospel. We are the ones that Jesus has called and said, go. We're the ones that Jesus are calling and saying, I'm sending you. We are the ones that Jesus is calling to fill those mighty big shoes. And Jesus was a leader of all leaders. We know that. There's nobody that's accomplished as much as Jesus has accomplished. There's nobody that's done as much as Jesus has done. There's nobody can do what Jesus can do. But yet we find when we go back to John, he says, not only these works will you do, but you'll do even greater works. He's a leader of all leaders. But he's also the equipper of his successors. Because Jesus says this, he says, not only shall greater works shall ye do, he says, because I am going back to the Father. And when we read and we understand, to make a synopsis of all of this, Jesus, in another passage of scripture we find in the early chapters of Acts, he said, I'm not going away and leaving you without any help. He said, I'm not leaving you without an advocate. I'm not going to leave you powerless. He said, but I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you another advocate. I'm going to send you a source of power. And understand this, the working of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whichever you prefer to call him, the working of the Holy Ghost is that the church is empowered. It is the Spirit, if you would, the Spirit of Christ that empowers us, that we may not only do our works, but we'll do the works that Jesus has called us to. It may look like we can't fill those shoes, but if we will throw off, if we will throw off our shoes of comfort, and we will begin to take on the shoes that Jesus has given us to wear, He will equip us. He will make a way for us in every way. When I read about the ministry gifts, Paul wrote to that church at Ephesus, and if you go flip over to chapter 4, if you still have your Bibles there, he said, Christ gave the apostles, He gave prophets, He gave evangelists, He gave pastors, and He gave teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You understand this, when the Lord give us some mighty big shoes to fill, He give us what we need. He gave us the Holy Spirit. But then He says, there's prophets and there's apostles, there's teachers, there's men. That's why it's so important to us that we indulge ourselves on the study of the Word of God. That's why, and listen to this, personal Bible study is good. It is needful and it's necessary. And I hope that you participate in personal devotion and personal Bible study. But let me tell you this, also important is that we be taught, that we attend church, that we attend Bible study, that we, you know, find it on the radio, find it on the TV, find it on the internet, find it wherever it is, good sound doctrine, and indulge yourself on someone teaching you the Word of God or preaching to you the Word of God or somebody giving you apostolic leadership or somebody imparting into you your life some way the Word of God, because God has given us that we may fill the shoes that He's called us to fill. So we're filled by the Holy Spirit, and we're also, our shoes are filled by the Word of God. And Jesus will give us, in all of that, He will give us the footwear we need for the journey. You see, because He doesn't want us to go barefooted necessarily, even though we have to throw off of those shoes of comfort, He doesn't call us necessarily to be barefooted. But you know, I read a little saying there a number of years ago that shoes make the man. That's sort of hard for me because I don't wear but a size 7, and it's hard for me to find shoes that fit me. But when God has called us, when God has called us into things, that, you know, maybe He's called us into a work detail. Maybe, listen. There's times in my life or your life, and even you ladies, I mean, Granny Clampett wore them, so if Granny Clampett could wear them, why couldn't anybody wear them? There's times that we need our feet shod with work boots. He's called us to be workmen, work women, if you would. There's different callings and there's different administrations that happens. And just perhaps He's called us to put on the work boot. He's called us to put on, I think I'm going to move this where you guys can see it. But He's called us to put on work boots. He's called us to put on these boots where, you know, when we put them on, man, we're ready to go to work. We're ready to go out there. And listen, when I grew up, we had hogs and we had cattle and all kinds of stuff. And we had what was known as a barnyard. And let me tell you something. If I was going to the barnyard to feed the hogs, go down and feed the cattle if we was grain feeding or something like that, whatever, our eyes going down to fill up the water and thing that we had for the cattle. Let me tell you something. I wasn't going to wear, in fact, if I wore we didn't get but one pair of tennis shoes a year, and bless God, we had to make them last. I didn't wear my good tennis shoes down to the cow yard. I put on my old work boots because I would have been in big trouble if I got cow manuki on my tennis shoes. Okay? That's just the way it is. And so I put on my work boots, and when I'm going into the cow yard, I wore my work boots. That was in order. And it filled the season. And I had no problem putting on my work boots. And my work boots would go. Some of you, you're going through seasons. Some of you, you're called into ministries. Some of you, you're called to work boots. You're called to be down in the trenches. You're called to wade through the stuff that isn't pleasant, like wading through the cow yard. You're called to do that. And God will supply that need. Some of you may be wearing walking shoes. And I bought a few of those. I don't know why, because when Sarah and I walked a few years ago, we walked a little bit and we just didn't stick with it. Some of you have walking shoes. You're out walking. You spend miles every day walking. And there's shoes that are made appropriately for whatever task you're doing. Some of y'all may have running shoes. Some of y'all may want to, you know, dress up a little bit and you know, some of y'all might wear something real fancy. Some of y'all might, you know, sort of flashy looking. And, you know. Thank God they don't fit. But sometimes you may have to dress up. Sometimes it may require heels. But whatever it is, listen, I can't wear my wife's shoes. If I could get those things on mine's a size 7. She don't wear but a 6 in a ladies. But if my foot would fit, let me tell you something. I could not walk in those shoes. I promise you, I could not walk in those shoes. They don't fit my foot. But listen, what I'm saying to you, understand this. God makes a way. God makes a way. God makes a way. Then maybe He's giving you shoes to dance in. I'm not a dancer. I wish I could. But God's giving you some shoes to dance in. And you can put on those dancing shoes. And you can just dance until your heart's content. But God is making a way. God is blessing your life. You say, man, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how you can do it. I don't know how I do what God's called me to do. But only by the work of the Holy Spirit. You say, but the task seems so big. Size 13 triple E's. I borrowed these. So nobody in my family has a foot like this. And you know what? These shoes are entirely too big for me. In fact, the person that let me borrow these shoes, when he was 12 years old, he was giving me his old shoes as he would outgrow them. And when he got about 13, I couldn't wear his shoes anymore. He's 17 now. 17 now, and he may not be through growing yet. They really don't feel that bad, though. But you know what? If I had to kick a ball, or if I had to run real fast, woe is me. Because these shoes really don't fit me. And in this life, Jesus provides the footwear. He provides the call. And as He provides the call, He's going to give us exactly what we need. He's not going to call me into something that He can't equip me to do. My feet are not going to stretch. Now, I will say this. One time, me and a couple friends of mine, we went and a guy gave us permission to raid his junkyard back when I was in the car business. And we were going through, he ran a towing business, and we were going through cars and we were taking parts off that we thought we could use and motors and stuff like that. He gave it all to us. And I never will forget, we raided, and it was lawfully done, okay? We raided this big white Electra 225 Buick. They used to call them deuce and a quarter. 225. We opened the trunk of that Electra 225 Buick, and there was a pair of wingtip dress shoes this long. My buddy Cliff My buddy Cliff only wears like a size 8, 8 and a half. But Cliff's a thrifty guy, if you know what I mean. He said, "Boy, some nice shoes." You'd have to know him to appreciate my imitation. He said, "Boy, some nice shoes. I think I'm going to keep them." I said, "Cliff, you can't wear those things." He said, "Yeah, I can do." He said, and he went and got him, I bet you he took 2 Roanoke Time newspapers, and he stuffed the end of those shoes full of newspapers just to fill them up, to try to keep them from curling up on him a good bit. But he wore those shoes to church on Sunday until his wife got after him hard enough that he decided he wasn't going to do it anymore. But here's my point is, whatever God gives us to do, whatever God calls us to do, He's going to provide for us what we properly need to do the task that He has set before us. You see, but and He is not going to give us, I can't put on that and then put on my old Brogan tennis shoes because then I'm mismatched. And here's the thing about it, and I'll use my old Brogan tennis shoes as the illustration. If I remain in my comfort zone, if I keep my old Brogan tennis shoes on, and I try to put my high heel on one foot and wear my Brogan tennis shoes on the other foot, I'm going to be walking like Chester. I'm going to be all mismatched. And here's the thing about it. When God has called us into something, we can't remain in one shoe of comfort and in another shoe of what He's called us to do, because we're going to end up walking lopsided, if you would. We're going to end up going sideways. We're going to end up falling down. We've got to allow God to fit us with the shoes that He has called us to wear. And listen, He will fill us. He will fill the shoes for us. He will create in us what He wants us to be. So He's calling us to put on new shoes. To put on new shoes. Because when we put on those new shoes, it will demonstrate, listen, some of y'all may notice my old shoes this morning. I don't know why y'all, anybody be scared of me or something. They didn't want to insult me. You know, it ain't the first time I've been insulted. Pastors understand insults because, listen, I mean, I told y'all before, you know, if you want to be liked by everybody, you need to sell ice cream. If you want to be liked for everybody, don't buy everybody. Don't be a pastor. You thought my brain was slipping. Yeah, I do drink a lot of diet drinks. It's possible. But you know, but if I'd have come in with new shoes on, you all would have probably noticed that as well. You would have probably noticed it as well. But you know, when we make the decision to get out of our shoes of comfort and to put on the shoes that God has called us to wear and do what God has called us to do, let me tell you something, people are going to notice. And it's not that we're trying to call attention to ourselves. It's not that we're trying to gain glory. It's not any of that thing. But people will notice the new shoes you're wearing. You know why? Because you put on the new shoes, whether it really affects your walk or not, it will look like you're walking a little bit better. When you put on the new shoes, it will look like there's a little bit more pep in your step. When you put on the new shoes, people are going to recognize and see there's a difference in your life. People are going to realize that something has changed. A friend of mine wrote a blog this week. I went through school all the way. I've known him all of my life nearly. And he's a Presbyterian pastor, and he wrote this. He wrote this in his blog this week. Walking in our new Christian shoes should demonstrate our devotion to God and to His Son. We need not walk in misery, anxiousness about each and every step, because we have been instructed to do just the opposite. We need to have a little spring in our steps because we are wearing His new shoes. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Whatever God calls me to, He's going to supply the need. Whatever God calls me to is going to minister in my life. Whatever God calls me to, it's going to be fulfilled by Him. Because He's the one that said go. He's the one that said go. He's the one that said go ahead. You go ahead. I'm sending you. But if I keep my old comfortable shoes on, I'm probably not going to go where He wants me to go. And I'm probably not going to be. If He's called me to wear these and I've got my old brogans on, I'm never going to fulfill it. If He's called me to wear these, then I'm not going to fulfill it. If He's called me to wear these monsters, I'll never fulfill it wearing my old shoes of comfort. God is calling us. God is calling us to wear new shoes. His shoes. God is calling us to wear shoes that will reflect His glory in us. He's wanting to make a difference in your life. He's wanting to make a difference in my life. He has made a difference in my life. My old shoes were comfortable, but they looked pretty bad. You're so polite. Nobody said anything to me about my shoes this morning. Thank you for being so light, life group. Nobody even mentioned it. Nobody said anything about it. I started to wear two different kinds. Maybe I should have just to press it just a little further. But you know what? You know what? Not that it really matters, because I could do it in either one. But this is the shoe God's called me to. This is the shoe God's called me to. Not my Brogan tennis shoes, not my place of comfort. Sometimes by the time I get done on Sunday morning, my feet are killing me, to be quite honest with you. But God always sustains me. And sometimes whatever's going on in your life, He's calling you to get out of your comfort and moving into the shoes that He has for you. Because let me tell you, I'm not going to wear these to the cow lot. And I'm not going to wear these to mow my yard in. I don't know where these to weed in, and I certainly wouldn't go bicycling in these shoes. But I would find the shoe that fits. And even sometimes they may look bigger than we can feel. God bless, and God will work, and He will minister to us in all that we do for His glory. So today, if the shoe fits, is not really the question. In fact, there's a statement to be made. When it comes to serving God, it's not if the shoe fits. It could be better worded in a statement. The shoe does fit. The question is, will I go ahead and wear it? Will I go ahead and wear it? Whatever God's called you to, whatever God's called you to, go ahead and wear it. But I really can't do this. It doesn't just fit my life. It doesn't fit me right now, Pastor. I have this and I have that and I have... If He's called you to that shoe, it's going to fit. It's going to fit. I didn't think I fit ministry. I argued with God 2 years. You may think I still don't fit ministry. No. But I argued with God 2 years that I didn't fit ministry. That wasn't my gig. Music's my gig, God. You know, that's my gifting. That's my calling. But God makes sure the shoes fit. He makes sure it works out whatever situation He's calling you into. So today you may be sitting in this room. You may not even be a Christian and be in this room. And you may be here saying, you know what? I'd be a Christian, but I really don't fit in. That's not a matter of that at all. It's not a matter of that at all. God's not calling you to fit in. He's just calling you to walk in the shoes that He's ordained for you to walk in. You may be sitting in this room and you say, well, I feel like God's leading me in this. I think God's calling me in this, but it really, I just don't have what it takes to do that. I don't have what it takes to lead, kids church. I don't have what it takes to lead nursery. I don't have what it takes to engage in any of the ministries of the church. I just really don't have what it takes. Listen, but if God is calling you, He will equip you. He will make sure the shoe fits. But we got to throw off those old comfortable things and say, all right, God, tell me which one you want me to wear. And I'll put it on and I'll go with it. And I'll go with it because He said, I go back to the Father and I'm sending you another comforter, the Holy Ghost. And when you realize the Holy Ghost is so much more than making us jump, shout, run, be happy, and talk in tongues. The Holy Ghost is so much more than that. The Holy Ghost is the equipper of the church. It's the fit specialist in the shoe department. So let God, you will lead my steps. You will guide them. Just bow your heads with me right now. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, and in this room you just don't think you meet the criteria. I'm one of those people. I thought, Lord, when I know I can live a saved life, when I know I can be a Christian life, because to me Christianity and salvation had been all portrayed about certain works and certain deeds. And I said, when I get to where I know I can do that, Lord, I'll get saved. I'll surrender my heart to you. And I'll just be honest with you, I was dumber than dirt and all of that. I didn't have understanding. Let me tell you something. If you could live it, if you could fix it, if you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need Jesus. I wouldn't have needed Jesus if I could have done it on my own. But it's now not about what you can, good deeds you can accomplish, what kind of lifestyle that you can maintain, but it's about a relationship with Him. It's about going when He says go. He says, I'm sending you. And you say, which way? On the way out the door. It's about letting Him fit you with the shoes that He wants you to wear. So if you're in this room this morning and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you've drifted far away from Him, I want to ask you a question. Can you just say, by simply raising your hand real quickly, and I'm not going to come after you. I'm not going to point you out. Nobody looking around. Nobody peeking under your elbows and armpits right now. And just out of courtesy to the person sitting beside of you. But right now I want to ask you, if you're that person that says, I need to get saved, Pastor. I need to rededicate my life. Would you slip up your hand right now? If that's you. I take from the lack of a response that everybody in this room is good in your relationship with God. And that's wonderful. That's good. But I want to ask you this. How many of you are walking in the shoes that God has ordained you to walk in? Are you fulfilling what God has called you to do? Are you well pleased with, I am serving God in every way that He wants me to. I'm His representative. I'm representative of the kingdom of God, and I'm fulfilling everything. Are you still living in your comfort zone? Are you still living in that area of your life where you're not challenged in your faith? Are you still living in that area of your life where you don't have any work boots, you don't have any running shoes, you don't have any walking shoes, you're still wearing your little Barney bedroom slippers, or maybe you're wearing your Mickey Mouse bedroom slippers. You're all comfortable right now. You're all comfortable right now. If that's you, and you would like to walk in such a realm with God that's going to move you out of your comfort zone, I want you to right now just to look at me. I don't ask you to raise your hand. But right now, if you're that person that's willing to say, I'm willing for God to move me out of my comfort zone, I'm willing to take off my comfortable shoes, my bedroom slippers. I'm willing to take on shoes that seemingly don't even fit me. Those shoes are too big for me. But I'm going to be dependent on God to fill those shoes. If that's you right now in this room, I'd like for you to come up here and let's have a season of prayer. Who wants to be that kind of servant? Who wants to be that kind of follower of Jesus that says, I will get out of my comfort zone? Move that to the side. I want to move out of my comfort zone. I want to kick these off. They're good for around the house. They're good for mowing. But really, I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit embarrassed to put them on this morning. I'm a little bit embarrassed, but this is better than the last pair I had, because the last pair had the soles flopping off of them, you know, and I put duct tape around them and stuff like that. These are a little bit better than usual, to be very frank with you. They're good for their place. They're good for their use. But let me tell you something. God has called me to bigger shoes than my comfortable shoes. And God has called you to bigger shoes than your comfortable shoes. And being out of your comfort zone, let me tell you what it'll do. It'll make you panic a little bit. Being out of your comfort zone will cause you to get all hot and sweaty. Getting out of your comfort zone, you know, I wasn't real comfortable cooking up there yesterday. I done burnt my hand. I don't have any hair left on the back of my hands hardly. I even had some of my eyelashes curled up this morning when I was washing my face off, you know, and giving myself a haircut. I noticed that I was missing some of my eyelashes. Listen, it wasn't very comfortable over that grill yesterday. But this guy here, and he needed a break every once in a while. He did good. He was a whole lot better griller than me. That's Lisa. But this is the reality of it. This is the reality of it. When we get out of our comfort zones, it may even cause us a little bit of pain. It may singe some hair or raise some hide. But God, whatever He's called us into, He's going to make a way. He is a way maker. We don't have to learn that song. We got to learn that song. Waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker. He is a waymaker, and He is going to create the atmosphere that's going to fill whatever shoes He's given you to wear. So right now, I want us to pray together. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for one another. I want you to move over to somebody close by you. In this form, maybe three or four or five, whatever people. And I want you to create a little group. A group within the group. And I want you to begin to pray one another, because the Scripture teaches us to pray for one another. And I want you to begin to pray for one another right now, that you all will feel the shoes that God's given you to feel right now. Start praying.